that I missed your call, but if you'd leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is specifically for Walter and Zadok. Obviously for everybody else, but Walter and Zadok were on my mind after the events of last night. So a preface. It was April 27th of 2020, over a year ago. I did this series of videos that was try to reconcile by 30, which obviously didn't happen. I took a bunch of those and renamed them, add the scripture overlays on them, put them online. And I think every one of them now has got 300 views on them, which encourages me. But, you know, it was like within the first month, I think a lot of them got to 200 views, which is, so, you know, the last 100 has been over a year. But I did the one called Andrizomai, Be Strong and Courageous. Because it's an important thought, because you know, the idea of be strong and courageous we see over and over again in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy and Joshua and other places. We see it once in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. And I expanded on that. Act like men, andrizomai. In the Old Testament, that's where you see be courageous. Acting like a man and being courageous. It's not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. Look at the language. Test it. Test what I say is true. Please. Test what I say is true. Andrizomai. In the Septuagint, when you see Moses saying, be strong and courageous. Andrizomai. Which is literally Aner, man, and it's the male. It's not the you know. Anthropos is man in the sense of man or woman. Aner is man. Period. And andrizomai is to act like a man. So my objective here is because obviously I haven't had much influence on Walter and Zadok, and I want to right now. I want to encourage you. Don't be a wimp. Don't be a coward. Act like men in obedience to Christ. And I want to give you an example. You know, what brought me to Christ was the pro-life tug. As a younger guy, I got involved in pro-life ministry. And it became very, very clear to me that in order to do that well, I had to be involved with a Christian community. And it obviously was the Lord's way of grabbing me, because I call myself a follower of Christ, not because I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life because I'm a follower of Christ. But there are other corollary things. You know, it's how, and because I didn't seek this out, but they literally sought me out in black-white relationships. It happened several times in the early 90s. And then, of course, we had some involvement with anyway. But another area that has really had a tug on me is the idea of slavery. And I've become a lot more knowledgeable about that. And I've made numerous proclamations on that. And this is my challenge to my kids as an example. Because I did a study on, you're familiar with the story of Lot being in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, when the Lord turned that into a pile of ash, and the story around that. Noting, too, it was two angels and the Lord, as in Jesus Christ. But you see the story somewhat repeat in the Book of Judges near the end, where it's with the Levite and his concubine. And I describe that because, one, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was done by the Lord. In the case of the Levite, who was unnamed, it was done by, it cost the lives of 40,000 people to wipe out 25,000 of the Benjamites. I described it as not very clean and tidy. It's happened again a few years ago with the Yazidis in northern Iraq. What I found so fascinating, and the picture of the one guy that I used for the cover of this, he with others would go, because ISIS had captured some of their people, mostly the women, and he would go buy them back or steal them back. And anyway, I go into some detail on that. That was, like I say, 3 years ago or so. But I also did last year the Andropetus stakes, which is the term enslaver. Because it's a horrible thing to do, to enslave somebody else. And I went over, described what it is, the difference between slavery, and abject slavery, and employment, and things of that nature. But after I did it and I reviewed it, I figured I made a statement that was wrong. Because I talked about, because in Libya, and as far as I know, they're still there today, they're described as open-air slave markets. In other words, it's just public. It's right there in front where you can go literally buy a slave. And last time I checked, price is about $200, $300. You buy a slave, and you literally buy a person. And I said at the time, as a follower of Christ, you wouldn't do that. A few days later, I corrected myself. And I did another video titled, "Seriously, Go Buy a Slave." The objective was, buy the slave to set them free. And I don't know how well it shows. I got a little emotional with that one. I got a little emotional because the other one, the enslaver one that I did a few days before, that was on May 6th. There are millions of these people. And I've seen so many pictures of these people enslaved. And one little girl caught my eye. And I've used her picture constantly. When I was making the long email, it was in there. But anyway. She's in my mind. And then I had this go buy a slave idea. And, I made the suggestion. If you have the personality to do it, you need to go do it. I found out last night, a Russian guy, Oleg Milenkov, when he was about 18, he's a guy who's, he's strong built. I mean, I'm a large person, but I don't have the strong build. This guy, he's the kind of guy when he walks up to you, it's, yes, sir, he's strong build. But when he was about 18, in a conversation with a friend, he found out about some people in Dagestan, which is, part of Russia, so relatively near. And they were enslaved. So he, with, I think it was one other person, went and freed them. And apparently became a passion for him. He started an organization that's apparently grown. I think he said he has like several staff members. He operates a hotel kind of thing for people during obviously a hotel for free. He's been doing this now for 10 years. He's only 28. And apparently in those 10 years, him and his organization has not bought a slave. They bought over 1,400 slaves and set them free. I find that a rather big deal. I find that marvelous. I don't know his purpose, his rationale, why he does this. I don't know if he's a follower of Christ or he's doing it for some other reason. Apparently, it has become institutionalized. The organization has grown. He may have even ties even up to the UN kind of thing. So I don't know what's happened. But I marvel at that. Someone who's willing to say, no, don't enslave somebody. I think it's a great role model. Irrespective of his purposes, if they're noble, because he's a follower of Christ, or if it's some other reason, I think what he does is commendable. And it's very high risk. It's extremely high risk. Apparently, he was attacked once. Somebody did attempt to kill him. And they did not succeed. But you'll see, I sent the postcard today to Jim Cross. And unlike, you know, when you go to the website, you know, kozlowski.org/promise, you have all the images of the postcards. And I have little thumbnails of them. So you click on the thumbnail and you get the full size image of the postcard. And for today's, same kind of thing. There's a thumbnail and you click it on and you get the full size image. But the thumbnail is different. It's a picture of the little girl. And the line in front of it, Oleg is laying on a bed in the background. And his little girl is in front, and she's kind of the focus. And the words there, and it's interesting because you know, this is was done by RT, you know, Russia Today. So, and it, you know, he's Russian. Like, what are we going to say? But you know, occasionally translation issues. But it's his attackers. Attacker is still walking free, and it's attacker apostrophe S. So it's his attacker is still walking free. And, you know, think about that. And to live that way. The thing that really, and that's why the picture of the little girl is the thumbnail, not the picture of the card. He's putting his family at risk. But apparently his family backs him up. That's a big deal. The other thing that I noticed is in the, it's like a 9-minute video. The people that he was interacting with, these are not the, what you would call the cream of the crop. These are not people you say, oh, look, a noble person who he's getting a lot of people that would be written off by most people. It's kind of like, you look ugly, you look worn out, you don't look worth, like you're worth my time, but he's worth his. And he risks his life to set them free. Old ladies, a bunch of old ladies. One woman from Africa who spoke English, you know, and no, these are the people that's so easy to write off. And he risks his life to save them, to free them. I would suggest this is a example of Andrizomine acting like a man. So the point is to Walter and Zadok, the model of acting like a man, of showing care to someone instead of writing them off, is Oleg Melnikov. Not the people around you. You might find that offensive. It takes love to go to the least of these, my brothers, Matthew 25. Or 18, no, it's 25. It takes love to do that. It takes love to have the endurance to pursue reconciliation year after year after year. I don't know if I'll ever see Walter and Zadok. It's a terrible thought. I may never get to see Walter and Zadok. But you are my sons. And I want to point you to Christ. And how do you follow Christ? 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Oleg is a strong man. It's not his strength that's important. It's acting in love that is. I want to encourage my kids somehow. And consider, I did the pro-life thing. I remember I did some things that were really clumsy, but I was willing to do them. You know, I ended up, I think, because of the fact I was willing, even though I did clumsy things, I was the head, not just one of the people, I was the head of the Greensboro chapter of North Carolina Right to Life. I was on the board of directors of the Greensboro Pregnancy Care Center for about a decade and was the chair for a year. Because I was clumsy, I did stupid things, but I was willing. You know, I'm not the Joe Dynamic fellow, but when I was about 30, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I staged an event, had the local TV station come, and we staged an event in front of the abortion clinic. It was small. It was, you know, only about a dozen people or whatnot, but we were on the news that night. And why? Because I was willing. It doesn't mean that you have to have the fanfare. It doesn't mean you have to have the recognition from man. When you go to somebody who can't pay you back and love them, then you're showing you're a follower of Christ. And it's not something you can get a certificate or plaque for. The only thing you'll get is maybe hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's a goal to strive for. Whether it's pro-life activity, whether it's the interracial activity, which I actually continue to do locally here, whether it's the slave stuff, which, you know, I have proclaimed a bunch, you know, and it's one thing to talk about the slavery. The other thing, and I find it so important, if you sit there with a bowl of M&Ms M&Ms is easy to see. Say, oh, that's an M&M. You grab that M&M and put it in your mouth. You're eating a product based on slave labor, abject slave labor. Besides the fact they're unhealthy, which is a separate issue, if there was ever reconciliation, you'll never see an M&M in the house again. I don't know if you do now. No. They're made about 2 miles from where I live. I wouldn't touch one. Because exactly as I ended the video about Kobayas, or the one about the precursor to the Kobayas slave, I can't look at these people or the pictures of these people and say, oh, I'm enjoying my M&Ms that you've been enslaved for me to get the cocoa for. And that's why, and I'm emphatic about this, ask Mom. She knows how much I love Perrier. I would very much delight to have one. But my assumption is I'll go through the rest of my life never having another one. Because Nestle bought Perrier. Nestle is probably the largest user of slave labor in the world. I can't enjoy Perrier from a company that enslaves people. Can you? There are so many things. I know people, you know, because like I say, I have my friend, the convicted drug dealer. He's a friend. You know, I've literally picked him up from prison. It's so easy to write off people like that. Don't. And if it's your personality, you get involved with them somehow. You know, I'm involved kind of in his case, in a support area. But there are some people. Okay, I wasn't going to get long, but I was planning on, and I haven't yet, because I'm so busy. The one line that really, really hit me hard from Chris Bitterman, apparently during his last days as pastor at Meadowview. He talked about apparently in Lexington there was a place that was a grocery store or whatever and has turned into some form of drug rehab place. And his comment was, he drove by and was praying for them and wanting the Lord to bring in a whole bunch of these people so they would get to maybe 3 services. I was so disgusted with that. The attitude is, don't drive by, go in. Walter and Zadok, especially when you become an older man, you know, a teenager, like Oleg, he started this as a teenager. Don't drive by, go in. Where the Lord gives you a tug saying, this particular group of people I can interface with. I can interact with them. I can step into their culture and they will accept me. And I can challenge them, encourage them, and bless them. If you find that, go in with both feet, knowing you're going to make mistakes, knowing it may cost you dearly. Love well. Be a man, not a wimp. And let all that you do be done in love. Remember. A couple things that I think are really important. When you strive to do something like this, something serious, something that a lot of people may say, you might not want to do that. You're going to blunder. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to goof. Do it anyway and do it consistently, and don't give up. Don't follow pride. Follow in obedience to Christ as an act of love. Be a man, not a wimp. I don't know what kind of, you know, there's all sorts of issues. I strive. You know, when I see people now, and there's a hint of an opportunity, maybe I can bless them somehow, because they're more often than not written off, lonely, or going through a difficulty that you can see. I don't walk by. I approach them. I engage them. I strive to encourage them. Sometimes it's really clumsy. Sometimes probably even say the wrong thing. Sometimes long-lasting relationships come from it. Frequently, it's costly. It's costly at minimum in my time. Sometimes in other ways. But let's add the, since I referred to it, you know, I'll just read the last part of it. This is Matthew 25. Well, okay. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit in his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This is for the elect. This is specifically for the elect. And it's not that you've earned something. You'll hear arguments about predestination versus election. Because predestination has a different connotation than election. Both terms are used in the Bible. But focus on election. Ekletos. It is the Lord who makes a vote. He votes once. And there's no other votes. It's just his. And it's not a formula. But one of the things he does to his elect is he gives them opportunities to show love, to reflect him well. He says, For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did you see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed you? And the important line. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When you see that ugly person, that person who is self-abused, they have done stupid things throughout their life. They may be young, they may be old, they look dilapidated, they look like they don't deserve anything. That's the person you love. They may hate you for it. You may be slandered for it. That's the person you love. Because if you can't love that person, you don't love. You simply don't love. Your motivation is pride. If you can go to the least of these and offer love, you're showing evidence. You're part of the ekletos. You're part of the elect. You're going to stand before the Lord redeemed because he loves you. If you have to go to somebody and say, because of a characteristic of you, you smell, you've used foul drugs, you've had a life of immoral sex, you've done horrible things, therefore I'm going to write you off. You can't do that. You simply can't do that, because, you know, a really good example, look at King Nebuchadnezzar. He was not a pleasant fellow. And the Lord crushed him, you know, crawling around the grass, eating the grass for however many years. And he restored him. And then what did he say? That is God. That's evidence that King Nebuchadnezzar, a very foul, disgusting man, stands before the Lord redeemed. Then you go to Solomon, the wisest man ever, writes the book of Proverbs and other things, and falls away from the Lord. Is Solomon redeemed? You know, King David, also a foul man, but shows his trust in the Lord and is repeated. He's repeated and honored in the New Testament. Solomon isn't. It's the Lord having you, showing his grace. Consider also the thief on the cross. Even up to the point in one of the Gospels, even him was throwing insults at Christ. And then it's that last moment, and the Lord says, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, some people will say, well, I can live a terrible life and just, you know, when I get to the end, I'll just claim Christ. No, that doesn't work. It's Christ who's claiming you. But the point of that, I suggest, it's not that you can live a horrible life and then seek forgiveness at the end. It's that the Lord can forgive no matter how horrible of a life you've given, because he, for his purposes, will redeem his elect on his terms in his way. And the issue is, before that last moment, would you have said, oh, that thief, he's going to go to hell? But he stands before the Lord redeemed. I think the point is, we don't know. It's the Lord in his private counsel who is his elect. So, it gets back to the idea to Walter and Zadok. Be strong and courageous. Act like a man. And let all that you do be done in love. Find people to love, whether they're in, you know, I won't go on. Find people who are well off, well dressed, they smell nice, and find the dregs of the earth. Don't show partiality. It's the James 2:2. You know, if a rich man comes into your synagogue, into your synagogue, talking about a Christian gathering, which is another issue. But anyway, you don't show partiality, because it doesn't matter if you're well off, you're middle class, or you're at the bottom of the heap. The Lord may have that person. We don't know. When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Let that sink in and never give up. My plan is to put this on DVD, and the video that I saw yesterday of the gentleman, Oleg Melnikov. There's a good model for you. If that's your personality, something like that, invest yourself into it wholeheartedly, knowing it'll cost you. One other thing. Sometimes someone will do something, strive for something, let's just call it noble, loving. Let's call it loving. They'll strive for something, a difficult task that will take some courage, but is an act of love. And right off the bat will fail, and maybe even to the point of costing their lives. Fail only in the sense that they weren't able to accomplish the goal that they had, but succeeded because, unlike most, they tried. That's the issue. It's not that you succeeded, it's that you tried. You know, the rest of the Matthew 25. When did we not? When you didn't do it to the least of these. You didn't try. Walter, Zadok, rest of my family. But I'm concerned about my two young guys. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And know beyond question, your dad loves you. He loves your sisters, your brothers. And beyond any question, have no doubt in your mind whatsoever. I love your mom. I will not turn from her. She's my one and only lady, and she will be that way all the days of my life till my dying breath, because I love her.